Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Welcome in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Poore taking you through this Tuesday morning. Joe Rexrode struggling to get the microphone in position, but he's got it now.
Is this mic bigger today? Like it didn't fit. It was banging into things. You just never know what might happen.
You're like a bull in a china shop over there, Joe.
Yeah. I was trying to think of like a New York Jets joke I could make, but I got nothing.
Just watch a play. That's the joke in and of itself.
But what's a joke is me picking NFL games. I am awful at picking NFL games. I'm just gonna have to admit it right now.
I mean, this wasn't a great week overall, I think, for all of us. Like, I was horrible in our pigskin pick'em this past week. So
do we all have losing records? I think so.
I think we're all 2-3.
I was 1-4.
So. Oh.
Yeah. So I feel a little better that you were even worse.
Thank you.
But the NFL in particular, I mean, you know, you figure, I will say this, and I said it yesterday. I was like, when I picked Patriots-Jets, I thought it was just going to be another, like, noon game. When you put the Jets on, like, Monday night, you know, you put a team on Monday night, for like the Giants last week. We have to watch these awful teams, but yeah. The Giants stepped up because it's Monday night football, right?
You don't underestimate Joe Flacco on Monday night football.
And then all of a sudden the Jets last night step up, but still managed to keep their win never for Trevor plan alive. So
really the best
Cam
of both
the
worlds.
Pats. Yeah, exactly. So they give their fans some, I don't know, did they have some hope after watching that, or is it just that the Patriots and Cam Newton aren't very good?
How many Jets fans do you think are rolling around in that Joe Flacco jersey? Big fly, big five on the jersey.
Yeah.
Probably not many.
Yeah. What's the highest selling Jets player jersey right now?
I don't know.
Would be, you know?
Jameson Crowder.
There you go. You got Jameson Crowder. There you go. Le'Veon Bell. Still got Le'Veon Bell jerseys out there. I know there was a lot of excitement about that one.
Has anyone bought a Jets jersey this year?
Good question.
Even in New York, maybe not.
There's a lot of serious talk. I mean, I know like Steve Young made a serious case. You kind of blow it off. Yeah, sure, Trevor Lawrence staying in school. Come on, he's not staying in school. But like Steve Young made like a impassioned plea for him to not come out. You know, and basically like the Jets will ruin you, man.
Well, like. Okay, so if he stays, what's to stop the Jets from being awful again next year?
Right, exactly.
I guess they'll have Justin Fields at that point.
I mean, you can try to, you can try to force, a trade. You can try to pull the Eli Manning thing, but exactly. You're going to go to a bad team. Plus, be honest with you, I don't know that Trevor Lawrence is definitely the number one pick. I know that's a little bit of a warm take at least, but Justin Fields is really good.
He is.
And getting better.
I would still say that's a pretty hot take.
It's a little warm. It's got a little toastiness to it. But I tell you what, whoever has to settle for Justin Fields at number two then, they'll probably feel okay about things.
Are you telling me that you think those two quarterbacks work out better than the discussion we had last week of 2015 with Mariota and Winston? Maybe work out a little bit better.
I think so, but I felt good about those
guys
too.
Did you see Jameis eating the W the other day after the big Saints win?
He enjoyed that. He enjoyed that. Good for
Contributed
him.
A lot to that victory. Jameis did.
I'm sure he
eating
gave Bruce
W's
Arians
on the sideline.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he gave Bruce Arians a big hug.
Sure he did. Right after the game. What a contribution the other night by Jameis Winston.
Yes. Drew Brees laughed. So I mean, I think that was a good contribution.
It was a bad day yesterday in the SEC. COVID-19 rearing its ugly head once again. A whole bunch of teams affected with news coming out yesterday. Auburn and Mississippi State, the game has been postponed this Saturday. They will not play. There's an outbreak right now at Texas A&M. No word yet on how that could affect the Tennessee game on Saturday. Nothing for Tennessee right now. No positives yesterday. And, of course, that coming after Sam Pittman from Arkansas test positive for COVID-19 as well. So a whole lot of bad news yesterday in the SEC regarding COVID-19, LSU as well. We'll see about the Alabama-LSU game this weekend. This was a kind of a big outbreak in the SEC yesterday.
It's quite a COVID stretch here in sports. Tom Izzo, guy I cover a long time, has COVID. Yep. Seems to be fine. And, you know, he's obviously an older guy. But, yeah, all over the SEC. You think about it from the Tennessee perspective. First of all, Vol Twitter right now is like, please cancel the game. You know, they're all yes. about the game being canceled and probably the rest of the season. But my buddy Mike Wilson, you know, who works for the Knoxville News Sentinel, went back and watched the tape last night. And so Sam Pittman, you know, obviously recruited all these guys. He's like, he hugged their starting offensive line, like he hugged, you know, Trey Smith and Cade Mays yeah. and all these guys. So you know, just so you know. Now, of course, you know, a brief hug, you hope, doesn't do anything.
But there was a nice video that Arkansas put out of Sam Pittman dancing around in the locker room with the team after the game,
right.
too.
So there's that, too. Yeah.
That's fun.
So on both ends of this, the Vols have the team coming up and the team pass. And then Vanderbilt, of course, has the team they just played have an outbreak. So now they've got to figure it out. So far, if correct me if I'm wrong, the SEC has not had to cancel anything yet.
They haven't canceled it. They've postponed Auburn and Mississippi State, yes.
Yeah, but everything's been pushed back to that weekend at the end so far.
December 12th.
But we're moving toward someone with a, you know, with a not complete schedule
yeah.
pretty soon here.
Yeah.
Which the Big Ten has already, like, immediately has and so has the Pac-12. They've immediately crossed that threshold.
They have, and apparently Wisconsin trying to play this weekend in the Big Ten. So we'll see
at
if that
Michigan.
Works or not.
Yeah, night game at Michigan.
Probably not a bad time to play Michigan.
That's probably true, yeah. Yeah. Although, they'll probably, you know, it's, I mean, in this sport, Michigan probably beats them by 3 touchdowns.
Could
you know?
Be.
But yeah, not a bad time.
Jeremy Pruitt talked yesterday for the Tennessee Volunteers. We spent a lot of time on the show yesterday breaking down the loss to the Arkansas Razorbacks over the weekend and just some of the decisions that Jeremy Pruitt and his staff made. And he had an interesting comment yesterday in his press conference leading up to this week against Texas A&M, talking about the offense and what he would like to see moving forward. Here's what Jeremy Pruitt had to say yesterday.
Coach, how do you become more creative on offense? And do you feel that, like, the way you all are playing offense with kind of ball control and run it a lot, that the margin for error for the defense is even tighter?
Listen, offensively, the name of the game is scoring points. You can do it a bunch of different ways. You can run it every snap or you can throw it every snap, right? It's my belief that you probably need to be able to do both, and you've got to mix it in there, and you've got to keep the defense on their heels. You know, when you do that, sometimes you got to throw play action passes or drop back passes on first down, and when you do that, you got to take advantage of it. If they guard them, you got to take the check downs. You can't get holding calls. We've got to call an aggressive game, and when we do that, we've got to execute it to soften the other team up.
So that was Jeremy Pruitt yesterday, Joe, saying that in order to be successful offensively, sometimes you may have to throw it, sometimes you may have to run it, and maybe even sometimes you might have to do both.
Are we to the point now where everything he says is going to be, he's going to get Butch Jones'd now?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
This is what happens.
I just want to make sure we have the ground rules clear.
Well, I mean, come on. Did you hear that?
I did hear that, yes.
Now, there is something he said in there that I actually took something from in terms of, hey, you know, every now and then we might want to throw the ball on first down. Every now and then play action pass may be something that needs to be a part of the game plan. Because if you watch that game, especially in the first half on Saturday night, they didn't do a whole lot of throwing on first down. And eventually the defense is like, huh, it's first and 10? I bet they run it here. And that's what happened. Like, maybe switch it up every now and again.
Yeah. Do you think that's what he was saying? Was he trying to throw a
yes.
little shit? Yeah, you think so?
Yes, I guess I do.
All right. Could be. Not a good sign for Jim Chaney if that's the case.
No, but that wouldn't be the first time this year.
No,
hasn't been a good sign for Jim Chaney.
Right, and the thing is, the first time was, you know, heat of the moment, embarrassing loss. Sometimes, you know, people get it. But if you're sitting there at a Monday press conference, and that's a very planned thing, right,
yeah.
as a coach, especially now for Jeremy Pruitt, I bet you Jeremy Pruitt had a lot of discussions and thoughts about how he's going to answer certain questions yesterday, so. If that's what the intent was, then, yeah, maybe a little bit of, it's not my fault, it's that guy's fault. I mean, that's what happens, especially in the SEC, right?
Yes.
The SEC has always led the way in coaches sacrificing coordinators to save their own butts. It's absolutely – it just means more on that way easily.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And deflecting blame. And, look, surely if you're Jeremy Pruitt and that's the way you feel, you've had multiple conversations with Jim Chaney at this point about, hey, why don't we be a little bit more aggressive? And maybe Jim Chaney's point of view, and I don't want to speak for him because I don't know him, but maybe his point of view is like, how aggressive would you like me to be with these quarterbacks you're trotting out here? I mean, I don't know. That's just the problem. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place right now at quarterback, and it's just ugly right now for Tennessee. And that press conference yesterday, there's like you said, like there's nothing he can really say at this point. I mean, Vols fans are fed up with this season. It's not going to get a whole lot better. We know that. Texas A&M, if they play the game, it's going to be ugly. Florida, it's going to be ugly. I guess they have a shot against Auburn, depending on which Auburn team shows up, but I wouldn't like their chances in that game. So, honestly, realistically speaking, maybe their best-case scenario at this point is 3-7, and that's depressing.
See, the thing is, so Jeremy Pruitt's a defensive coach, and so there's always going to be this separation from offense with him. And you can make the case, look, this just hasn't worked out. He's trying to find the right combinations. You know, move on with that, maybe try somebody new, whatever. Chaney has been the most disappointing coordinator, right, or the coach, you know. But to me, this team, with the talent he's brought in and with him and with Derek Ansley, like, that should be better. I think it's actually – you can make the case that the defense has been more disappointing because at this point, that's his deal, you know.
Yeah.
And I know – I mean, he could be a very successful coordinator. I know it was Alabama, but I think he could go places and be very good. He's a savant out there calling out every, you know, play before the snap and all that stuff. There's been videos of all that. Like, he knows what he's doing out there. But that disconnect is really weird to me. You know, the fact that they just have not been able to sustain a good defensive effort in these games against decent teams.
Yeah, it's been very strange. And to the quarterback point, our poll question today at 102.5 The Game on Twitter, if all three Vols quarterbacks are healthy, who should start under center the rest of this season? Garantano, Brian Maurer, or Harrison Bailey? Right now we get 50 votes, 74%. Say Harrison Bailey, 14 on Garantano, 12% Brian Maurer.
Who are the 12% voting for Brian Maurer?
Did you do it?
I did not.
Did you sabotage this vote?
No, I did not. That has to be, like, you got to be related to him, right?
His friends and family are up early in Knoxville.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, right? All due respect to Brian Maurer, but he shouldn't play anymore.
No, this should be at most, a two-quarterback thing for Tennessee the rest of the year. At most. Garantano and Bailey. And honestly, I think I'm getting very close to the point where just ride it out with a kid. Why not?
Yeah, well, your job's on the line. So,
well, my job's not on the line. You're right.
Pruitt's is.
Yeah, how's that going with Garantano?
Well, I agree, but you know, do you think it'll be better with Bailey?
Well, let me ask you this. What's better, riding it out with Garantano the way it's been going, or hoping starting Bailey gets him a little bit better and you could sell this throughout the season? And look, he took a step.
Yeah, at some point I think that's the move. I don't know when. I mean, you know, if you feel like you got a chance to beat Texas A&M, realistically, the way Texas A&M is playing, they probably don't. But if you do, you're probably going with your senior.
Yeah.
Again,
if he can go.
If he can go, that's right. If he can't, yeah, it's got to be Bailey.
When we come back, what do the Vols have to do and show us over these last four games for us to consider it a success, for us to consider this season somewhat salvaged? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. But first, Joe, you've got a word from FanDuel.
I do. I have a word for those of you who have been watching the game, seeing an ad for FanDuel Sportsbook and wondering, is that legal here in Tennessee? Well, you bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is legal in Tennessee, and you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free. You can get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. No strings attached. Place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you get the whole bet back, up to $1,000 in bonus site credit, so you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. This week, for example, I still have not seen a line on Texas A&M Tennessee, but I'm betting right now that it might be a little bit low on the side of Texas A&M. So there's a chance for people, if you can stand betting against Tennessee, to look at that game. A whole bunch of other options out there as well. And, of course, there's more than just generous risk-free bets at FanDuel Sportsbook. They got a simple app. They got live betting on every game. They got exhilarating bet types, same-game parlays. You can combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And, of course, if you win, you get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. It's easy to use, fast withdrawals. You have a bunch of betting options. You have player props. You have futures. And, of course, like I said, live betting, odds boosts, and specials every day. You got some super big boosts each weekend. So to claim that risk-free bet, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Be sure to sign up with promo code Joe so they know I sent you. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Joe. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is now withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Jeremy, obviously with a four-game losing streak, Fall Nation's getting a little restless. What do you say to them to say, hey, relax, we're getting this thing turned around?
Well, I sure wouldn't say that. That'd be the first thing. Why, you know, to me, I'm just as restless as they are, you know. So I think everybody's kind of in this together. We all want the same things. You know, it's my name's at the head of the organization, right? I understand that. And we as a group in this organization, we got to find a way to get it going and play the right way and finish the right way. And that's on me as the coach and to get it going. And we're going to work hard to do that.
That was Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt yesterday at his weekly press conference. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, I think some good self-awareness there by Pruitt to not go down the relax rabbit hole.
So you liked that one.
That was good.
So you're not going to push him.
He didn't pull the Aaron Rodgers there.
Right.
Relax.
Right. What did you say when Aaron Rodgers said that, by the way, as a rabid Packers fan?
I relaxed.
Oh, yeah? You were fine? So if Aaron Rodgers says it, you're all right with it?
Yeah. Have you watched Aaron Rodgers play?
Yeah. He's pretty good.
He's not bad.
So that was not a Butch moment. That was satisfactory.
Satisfactory.
It's like a minefield these days for him. When your football team is this bad and disappointing, and you are the coach of Tennessee football,
yeah,
it is a minefield.
Yeah, it is.
So he avoided it right there. He stepped around it right there.
His three predecessors have not avoided. Well, I guess two. Kiffin didn't really step on a minefield. He just kind of left.
He just left.
He got airlifted out.
But at least, like, Dooley was fun, right? Like, Dooley. I heard that he was a lot of actually fun. I know that we get the whole Rommel presser was famous, but, like, he was actually entertaining.
Shower etiquette, right.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of things with Dooley. Dooley, like, in the press conference was awesome. He just couldn't coach.
Right. Yeah. That's a problem.
Butch couldn't do either. Now, I don't know about this guy.
Jeremy Pruitt is the gift that keeps on giving.
I do. I'll say this. I love listening to Jeremy Pruitt talk a ton more than I did Butch Jones.
Yeah.
Every time I heard Butch Jones's voice, like my spine shriveled.
Yeah. Well, and it got just worse and worse. And then, I mean, his last year he had that one. Well, he had the one thing. Was it Shy Tuttle? You know, he jumped on a helmet or something or whatever happened. But I mean, he had the scolding the media presser, which even like the game day guys. And Frank, come on, I mean the game day guys, they're gonna hold off a long time on ripping anyone.
Right.
They just trashed him for that. And I was like, oh boy, that's not good if you get trashed by the game day guys.
No.
But you know, Pruitt. The thing with Pruitt is when things are going well, it's like the bad grammar and stuff. It's cute, and it's like, oh, yeah, ball coach. And then when they're losing, then people start pointing out all his grammatical errors, you know.
Yeah, we had somebody text in yesterday to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It was like, how is the face of an esteemed academic institution not able to complete sentences? I was like, all right, well, let's give him a break. He's coaching football.
Yeah. Yeah, I like when it's about the elite, you know, the academic institution. Yeah. how are assistant coaches at football programs for these places making four times what the presidents are making? I mean, come on.
Yes, but it's all about the academics. Now, let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texted in, I didn't see it before, but now this is so much Butch Jones. First, the Vols are getting to Bama, and now they're not. Make up your mind, Pruitt.
Oh, they're closing the gap?
Yeah, closing the gap.
Thing, I mean, the closing the gap thing.
He's not going to live that down.
That's going to be on his Tennessee coaching, you know.
Tombstone.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes. I was trying to think of a way to say it without actually making it sound like he's going to die.
Well, you did a good job.
I'm glad Porth came through with the tombstone.
Yes.
The figurative tombstone.
Right.
Yeah. People are going to remember that one.
He dropped a doozy yesterday too. I'm surprised y'all glossed over this one.
Offensively, the name of the game is scoring points.
I mean, thanks, coach.
I mean, we talked about it,
he's
right?
Not wrong.
He said, you know, sometimes you run it, sometimes you throw it, and sometimes you have to do both.
Well, thank you.
This is what we've got here too, though. Halfway through year three, and we've learned that sometimes you got to run, sometimes you got to throw, and sometimes you may even have to do both.
Porth has had to mute his mic. He's laughing so hard right now.
Oh, man, the state of Tennessee. I tell you what, it's a fun time to be a Tennessee football fan. I was watching this game from a hotel room in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee on Saturday night. And as you can imagine, I mean, there's a ton of people in East Tennessee that obviously root for the Vols. And all of a sudden, like, I see Arkansas on the TV score, like, their third touchdown. And I hear this, like, crash from up above me, and I know, like, I don't even know who it was. I know what happened. It's a Tennessee fan. He's just watching the game and probably just destroyed, like, a Valley Forge Inn lamp in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. I was like, yep, we're back, baby. It's good to be here again.
I hope he stole a robe, too, at least to make it more worth his while.
Let's revisit our poll question at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. If all three Vols quarterbacks are healthy, who should start under center the rest of this season? 72% say Bailey, 19% Garantano, 9% Brian Maurer. 97 votes in so far. Chris on Twitter says, shake my head at the 19% that are saying JG.
Did you see the response to him? Okay, let me show you this. Let me read this response. Ricky Otazu, and he's mad at Chris for shaking his head at 90%. Where's the loyalty to the kid who went through three head coaches, four OCs, and complete bleep around him for 3 years? Where's the fact that he's top five all-time in UT stats? Top five all-time? And then I don't know the rest of the tweets all garbled, but, I mean, how about that? Somebody defending, and wait, what's he top five? Is he on top five in anything? Garantano is?
I mean, he may be top five in incompletions. I don't know.
Well, this needs to be a fact check.
I mean, he doesn't throw
we need
the
to
ball
fact
enough.
Check this. That would be shocking.
Well, he's
to me.
Been there for 12 years. He ought to be top five in
yeah,
something.
Yeah, but he's only played. I mean, he played in 18, and he played a lot of last year, but not even a whole year. You know.
I know
that doesn't add up to me, Ricky. But hey, Ricky, I appreciate your. I actually do appreciate someone sticking up for Garantano.
Yeah,
I applaud you. Even if you're factually incorrect.
I mean,
I got to look this up now.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what he's top five
in. Top five in checkdowns.
Top
five in all-time throwaways on third down.
Yes. Top five in awful interceptions. Probably he's probably not top five, though, in, like, number of interceptions because they don't throw the ball. Like, they never throw the ball.
Yeah.
It's just the picks he does throw is awful. So, I don't know. You'll have to look that up. We'll have an update on Ricky's stats.
I'm intrigued. Ricky's got me going to the books.
We'll have an update on Ricky's stats later in the show. Joe, what can the Vols possibly do here in the next four games to, I guess, encourage you if you're a Tennessee fan moving into next season? Because we said before, I mean, they're just not beating Texas A&M and they're not beating Florida. So there's two right there. What can they do moving forward to give you any semblance of hope if you're a Tennessee fan?
Win a game? Win a game against someone not named Vanderbilt?
Okay.
That would be a start. I mean, look, this is a big, to me, okay, we talked about last week. This is it. It is a huge moment for Jeremy Pruitt, and it was terrible. So the next step that sometimes you see when everybody starts talking about a coach's job and everything is you see an ugly performance. You can't have that against Texas A&M. And they may be rolling right now to the extent that you can't stop it. But you know what? if you are a coach with some semblance of control in your program, you still have enough players on defense and enough know-how on defense to make yourself competitive in this game. So be competitive. If you just get your doors blown off in this one, it's only getting worse from here.
Yeah.
I mean, you think this, you know, offense is good if you score points or whatever he said. I mean, there's going to be more of this. You know? We're going to have more fodder because, like, whatever he says is just going to be – it's just going to get worse and worse. So I don't think any Tennessee fan's going to be happy if they lose, like, oh, we only lost, you know, 31-21. But, man, that's better than what it could be. At least show something. Show that you can get a team out there to play hard and play together. Like, they don't appear to have any sort of togetherness or, you know, like mental fortitude right now.
I got to tell you, you know, the biggest thing I'm concerned about the rest of this season is they're just checked out. Like, I think mentally some of those guys already are checked out, and that's a problem if you're Jeremy Pruitt and this staff. You can't have that halfway through a season when things don't start to go your way and people just check out. That is an indictment on your football program. And I think that's where they are right now. I think a lot of guys, that's in the second half when things started to go wrong against Arkansas, guys checked out. And that's not a good look.
That's what you're looking for in this game is, you know, are they engaged and playing hard and being competitive? They should be competitive. The talent on the field should be competitive with Texas A&M. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for not being competitive with Texas A&M. If they get blown out, then that's what it's going to say, is that he's basically lost this team. So then you take it to, okay, so how are things getting better moving forward?
When we come back, our good friend Floyd Reese, former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM, will join us. We'll get into the Titans with him. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You can run it every snap or you can throw it every snap, right? It's my belief that you probably need to be able to do both.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Floyd Reese, former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM in the afternoons here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys this morning?
We are doing very well, Floyd, and I want to start with the Titans defensively on Sunday against Chicago. 2 of 15 on third down for the Bears. Obviously a dramatic flip from what we've seen from the Titans all season long. Did you notice anything dramatically different on third down for the Titans defensively on Sunday?
Well, I think they were, and we've talked about this, you know, prior weeks, how they were kind of stuck in a rut because, you know, they couldn't get the coverage, they couldn't get the rush, they couldn't get the combination, and how if they could change up some way, somehow, it might give them the opportunity to do some of those things. And I think we saw that. You know, you saw blitzing, you saw Jayon Brown get a sack, you saw several guys that were, you know, new to the scene, getting pressure. I think you saw the corners up, you know, bumping man for man, felt like they could get there or felt like they could cover them long enough for the pass rush to get there. And consequently gave the, whoever was calling the defenses, gave them a lot more options, you know, a lot more things they could do rather than things that they couldn't do. So I think that was the biggest difference in my mind.
So Floyd, like you said, some new guys who come in there, give them some energy. Would you also look at this and say there was some addition by subtraction at work in, you know, in helping that defense just collectively play better?
I don't, and I assume you're talking about Clowney and people like that.
Well, Beasley, you know, in particular, yeah.
But Beasley, yeah. I mean, I don't particularly buy into that. You know, I don't. Other than the locker room, and none of us know what was going on in the locker room, but I think in my mind, the corners were the biggest issue. And those young corners, let's face it. I mean, King coming in and, you know, okay, get off the plane. Here's your locker. Put your uniform on. We play in 10 minutes, you know, kind of thing. I mean, for him to go out there and do what he did, But we also had some of those guys that were maybe hanging around that hadn't had the opportunity that all of a sudden get an opportunity, and you see them competing. You see them really working and covering and, you know, not afraid of it and bumping and doing the things that you have to do to give yourself a chance. So I think it was more that than anything else. You know, the additional option of blitzing, of course, helped from a pressure standpoint. Chicago, for whatever reason, had, or at least in my opinion, I got the impression they were more afraid of their offensive line than they were of our defensive line. And I think they spent the first, you know, half, three quarters kind of, you know, oh my God, are we going to, you know, what's this line going to do and how's it going to affect the quarterback, rather than saying, you know what, these guys really haven't gotten a rush on anybody. So let's just go out there, get rid of the ball quickly and do what all, you know, what Cincinnati and all these other teams have been doing. So I think, you know, I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, but I question what their motives were early.
Former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Floyd, it's been three games now without Taylor Lewan on the offensive line. What have you made of the offense as a whole so far without Lewan in the mix?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. We've discussed this a little bit over the last few days, and I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure if we are stuck. I mean, you noticed at points in time in the game, you know, where you're only running a two-man route. Well, that doesn't help Ryan. Ryan's forte, in my opinion, is getting the five guys out and letting him have the option of who you want to throw the ball to. Well, when you only have a couple of guys in the route and you've got four guys in coverage, well, they can double both those guys, take those guys away. Now, where is Ryan and what he can do? I'm thinking a bunch of that must stem from the fact that, you know, as I talked about Chicago, we're still a little bit hesitant with this offensive line, and that, you know, we're more along the lines of, okay, let's be sure we protect Tannehill, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I think as the game goes, or as you get ready to play somebody, you have to analyze and be very, very careful about the fact that you're not hurting your, you know, you're not protecting ghosts. Let's go ahead and make those guys do something that we all of a sudden go, uh-oh, you know, that's going to be really, really hard for us, instead of saying, okay, we can't do this, we can't do that, we're now melted down to the point that this is about all we can do, and you go into the game severely limiting yourself.
And to that point, Floyd, I mean, Jonnu Smith's the first guy that comes to mind when we talk about that, because he's a guy, as we saw on Sunday, you get him the ball, he can be very dangerous. But to me, and tell me if you disagree, he spent so much time hanging in there on protection the last 3 weeks that they really haven't been able to utilize his skill sets offensively.
I think that's a good point, and I think we saw that because he really wasn't a factor, you know, hasn't been a factor for a couple weeks, but wasn't a factor early in this game. Then all of a sudden, we got into, you know, middle of the third quarter, fourth quarter, he starts catching some balls. And it was kind of along the lines of what I was saying. They're all of a sudden saying, you know what, I think maybe we can go ahead and protect these guys. I think we've got a chance. Let's get John out and let Ryan have that other option. And I think we saw the benefits of it. You know, obviously a touchdown, but him catching, getting himself an opportunity to catch a couple balls and make some plays for us. So, you know, I'm hoping that we can do a little bit more of that. You know, protection is still number one, and I understand what they're doing, but let's be sure that we can't protect. The truth is, you know, some of these young offensive linemen, I mean, you look at the game last week, and, you know, our left side was gone, and you're playing with a new left side, and so that is a major concern. And yet, you know, for the most part, I think they hung in there pretty good, and we may have to look at a little bit more of that.
So, Floyd, how do you look at this matchup Thursday? It seems to me the Titans have the edge in offensive skill guys right now over the Colts, but the Colts maybe have the edge in a lot of other places, including, you know, you could argue, you know, both lines, really stout team defensively and a really talented offensive line, kind of a different than some past matchups between these teams. But how do you think these teams look, you know, coming into this?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think their defensive front is really an issue. And of course, their offensive line we've always liked. And so we know their style. I mean, you figure Baltimore, and we've seen Baltimore in the past, they go into a game, they don't get a sack, you know, which means somebody is doing a pretty good job of protecting. And I think we're going to see more of that. And the other side of the ball, you know, their defensive front is just so stout. They're, defensively, they do a great job of just being disciplined. They don't do a number of things. I think they blitzed a little bit more this week than we've seen in the past. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if we didn't see a little bit more five and maybe even six-man rushes to put pressure on us, especially early to kind of test us. But their defensive front is stout. Their defense as a whole, you know, maybe not be loaded with a bunch of big-name guys, but they play well together. They are really well coordinated. They don't make a lot of mistakes. You've got to go out there and beat them, which means for us, we're going to have all the tools in the tool chest for us to have an opportunity to compete.
What do you think about Phillip Rivers so far, Floyd, and about that decision to sign him too for this team? What do you think the upside is with Phillip Rivers this year?
You know, the upside is not forcing him to do what he did this week. I want to say he threw the ball 40 sometimes this week. That is not what they want. They, in my opinion, they want him to go out there and throw the ball 25, 27 times. They want to be able to run the ball, which is, you know, they haven't done as good a job of as they would like, and play really, really sound defense. You know, not mess it up on defense. We're going to keep it low scoring. We're going to keep it close. And Rivers is going to, in his 25 reception or 25 passes, is going to get us two touchdowns, and that's going to be enough to win the game. So I think from a game plan standpoint, I'm not sure there's a great deal of difference in what they want to do and what we want to do. I think the onus falls on the defense, and can you, in fact, do something to slow down the other offense?
Former Titans general manager and co-host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. Floyd, appreciate you taking time to join us, my friend.
Have a great day, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, you as well. Good point there by Floyd, too, talking about offensively. It seems like at times protection is the main focal point from this group, and maybe that's taking away from some of the options that Tannehill has in the passing game.
Right, and that's also opponent-specific, too. You know, the Bears are a team you're going to have to be like that against. Coming up, got the Ravens. You've had the Steelers, and the Colts are very – the Colts may not have the pass rush studs that those teams have, but they've got some really good players up front. So it's like they're in this. It's, you lose the one, and you're playing some of the better teams in that way on your schedule right away.
When we come back, are the Titans done making moves with the roster, or could there be more coming on the horizon? We'll discuss that coming up next. But first, hope, health, and connection during these unsteady times. It's never been more important for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more so for our children and teens. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This six-week campaign launched on Monday, October 19th, and will run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways that STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All the proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mike, after watching the film, how did some of your lesser experienced guys like Roberson and Borders and Tart grade out, and how much trust do they earn going forward that they can help you?
I think all those guys will earn more opportunity here against the Colts. You know, it'll be important that they, you know, don't spend a whole lot of time in the batter's box staring at the home run, that they move on like we always try to do, whether we win or lose. That's our whole focus. I mean, to make sure that these guys are, you know, consistent and building and trying to earn, you know, larger roles.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday talking about maybe some of the youngsters in the pass rush. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Show here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, What did you make of some of the young guys in the pass rush on Sunday against Chicago? Roberson, we've talked about a lot here on the show. Tart was mentioned in there. Wyatt Ray called up on Sunday as well. What did you make of their performance on Sunday against the Bears?
I thought Roberson was encouraging, and I thought Roberson showed kind of what he did last year when he got opportunities last year. He's got some speed. He's got some pass rushing moves. He's got some ability, and he played a lot of snaps. I think he's better suited to be that third guy who basically like Beasley's old role. They get Clowney back. I think that's where he would fall in. I think he's got a chance to do something. Once people get more tape on him, does that make it tougher for him? That happens sometimes. You know, young guys who people don't know much about, they figure him out. I mean, you got to have counter moves and all that stuff. But right now, I think he's got some ability, and he's had some health issues, and maybe he would have played already before this. I think he's got his opportunity now. I think the first game, he took advantage of it. Wyatt Ray got out there a little bit, took a few snaps. I think for him, he's a depth guy right now and probably not playing a lot of Clowney's back. But I thought Tier Tart really showed up a couple times. Certainly in that short yardage defense, he looked pretty stout, pretty powerful in there a couple times. So that's good to see someone get an opportunity and take advantage of it. But Roberson's the big one. I mean, I've thought for a while now, like, why not give him a look?
So now as you look at the Titans pass rush, it's been a story all season long. Let's say at some point Clowney's back in there. What do you do? Are they done making moves at the pass rush position? And we saw yesterday the Atlanta Falcons waived first-round pick Tack McKinley. And we know that Tack McKinley was a guy at the trading deadline that was generating some noise. He was unhappy in Atlanta, sent out some tweets about maybe trying to get out of Atlanta and some offers that had rolled in. Obviously, nothing happened at the trading deadline, but Atlanta making the decision yesterday to place him on waivers. Could that be an area the Titans look at to maybe bring in a guy like Tack McKinley, or could they go outside and still maybe look at some Clay Matthews or some Cam Wakes of the world that we talked about before the deadline?
Listen, I would tip my hat to John Robinson if he goes for another Falcons castoff. It's like, hey, just keep doubling down, baby. Just keep trying it. One of them's going to work out. No, I don't think Tack McKinley is going to be here or even looked at here. I
really don't even think he's looked at.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I mean, he was out there last week giving like the blow-by-blow. Well, they tried to trade a fifth-rounder for him. It didn't work out. So I guess I'm still here in Atlanta. They don't want it.
Somebody call in with a fourth.
They don't want anything to do with that. And it's going to be really interesting. You got to think someone's going to take a flyer. I mean, again, he's 2017 first-round pick. Hasn't done much at all. And clearly disgruntled there. My guy, Jeff Schultz, you know, in Atlanta, has been there forever with The Athletic. He had a tweet about this. I'm trying to find it, too. Basically, the tweet was, don't touch this guy. He's the one I talked with him. So, basically, this is what Schultz said. Falcons effectively renounced their chance to get a compensatory draft pick if he signs elsewhere. But they apparently determined he wasn't worth it. It would not have been high. And he had some other stuff, too, about him. But he also told me, you know, this summer about Vic Beasley, like, man, really nice guy. Just there's been questions about him here for a while about caring about football. And, of course, we saw how that worked out.
Ryan Porth, what do you think of the Titans pass rush right now? Should they go after a guy like Tack McKinley?
I mean,
are you scarred by Vic Beasley enough where you can't pull the trigger on this?
Look, it was clearly addition by subtraction. With Vic Beasley.
Floyd doesn't buy into that.
Well, the results from Sunday say otherwise.
Well, okay.
I would like to go out and get somebody else, because what if Harold Landry goes down? What if Jadeveon Clowney does have to have meniscus surgery?
Yeah.
Like Mike Garofolo from NFL Network speculated over the weekend. Like, you don't have any depth at pass rush right now. So I hear what Joe's saying about, you know, stay away from this guy, and how Jeff Schultz is saying that too. But if anybody goes, even Roberson, if Derek Roberson, who has not been able to stay healthy this season, if he can't stay healthy for the second half of the season, who in the world are you going to have on the pass rush?
Oh, we're just going to ignore Tazar Skipper? Huh? Just going to blow off Tazar Skipper. More from Schultz here real quick. He was a bust on McKinley. He was a, quote, he was a bust as a player and a first-round pick and a distraction as a teammate. Good riddance. So just saying, Jeff Schultz isn't out there just like, this guy sucks, this guy sucks, you know? Pretty strong words. And look, again, if you're the Falcons and you can't figure out a way to get anything back for this guy and then you just cut him, I hear everything Porth saying, just saying, this is not the guy.
So what is the answer? Because I agree with Porth. Like, I think going the rest of the season this route and just relying on Clowney, who may or may not, you know, be fully healthy at any point this season, and when he has been, hadn't really been all that good, Landry and then Derek Roberson, I think that's a dangerous game to play if you're the Titans. So what do you do about it at this point if you're John Robinson?
I mean, I think basically you're down to the old guys. We've got a trio of potential, right? You got the Cam Wake, Clay Matthews, Terrell Suggs trio. You look around, there's other practice squad guys. You've got practice squad guys, young guys, you're given opportunity. It's not – I mean, look, you are beholden to Clowney here. You know, you cut Beasley. You need Clowney, who you paid $13 million to with incentives for more, which he won't hit. You need him to, like, have a $5 million season? I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that. But, yeah, if you get more injuries here, your Tazar Skipper and the like will be the guys on the field for you. And Harold Landry played great the other day. And also you worry about that guy wearing down or being more prone to injury because he's playing a lot of snaps.
A lot of snaps.
It's not a good situation. I still think Rashawn Evans is in a pinch. You could, you know, like move him out there and things like that, but – yeah, you have limited options right now. That's just the reality of it.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, McKinley at least got some sacks, more than Clowney did last year, I think. Maybe worth taking a shot.
Yeah, okay. I mean, hey, anytime a player's out there who at some point did something, I understand. But it's like Tech McKinley reminds me of, so who was it? Like Eli Apple is out there, right? Oh, go get Eli Apple. Well, sometimes players aren't good anymore.
Yeah.
And Tech McKinley is not good anymore. So Vic Beasley also had 16 sacks. Great. What does that do for you in 2020? It does nothing for you.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron text in says, in the Bears game, I noticed that other corners played better. They didn't give much cushion to the receivers, especially on third down. They seemed to be playing closer to the line instead of 10 yards off. I think we have more speed now. And to that point, Joe, could having more speed in the secondary and maybe eventually getting Adoree Jackson back at some point and adding more speed to the secondary than they have right now, maybe that helps the pass rush. You stay in coverage a little bit longer. But either way right now, even though they played well on Sunday against Chicago, I think you're fooling yourself if you think the pass rush right now is all of a sudden fixed and it's in a good situation.
Right. I mean, Nick Foles runs, I'm assuming, like a 6'2", 40 right now. Yeah, I mean, I think Floyd had a great point. Like, the Bears played like they were really afraid of their offensive line, which I get.
The Bears played like the Titans played on offense, like they were going up against Khalil Mack. And I couldn't understand why.
Right. But that's the thing. The Titans actually were winning. Even at times, they dropped 8 and they got pressure. And it was like, who are these guys? So, hey, you got to give them some credit for playing with that kind of energy. And, again, guys like Jayon Brown and Harold Landry played their guts out in that game. Simmons, they got some players. But, yeah, I would not look at that game and say all is well on the pass rush front. I mean, this week you're talking about an incredibly disappointing rushing game behind that offensive line, but an offensive line that gets Phillip Rivers protection. They're going to have a hard time getting to him.
If Nick Foles has a 6.240, what is Phillip Rivers 40?
Doesn't register.
That's a good question.
Like,
are we sure? Seconds. Are you sure? Is Phillip Rivers slower than Nick Foles?
I don't know.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, he might have a 6'1". Yeah, Rivers? You sure? You're 100% sure. Dude, did you watch Nick Foles the other day?
Did you watch Phillip Rivers try to make a tackle?
I mean, yes, that was
very impressive.
He fell
on his butt.
Yeah, that was very impressive.
He tripped over the 30-yard line.
We should get Nick Foles and Philip Rivers in a sack race. I mean, I don't know. I think it would be close. It's pretty bad.
Do people still do sack races? Is that still a thing in today's youth?
I don't know. Like pre-COVID work picnic?
Well, yeah. Like, do your kids have any concept of what a sack race is? They still do those at recess? Field day?
Oh, gosh. You know, that's a good question. I have volunteered at some field days for my kids, and I don't remember sack races. Water balloon tosses.
Yeah.
Vic Beasley doesn't know what a sack race is.
Wow. Just continuing to take shots.
He knows what a sack of bacon is.
How long do we think Porth is going to take shots at Vic Beasley?
Eternally.
What point does it end?
We're going to be sitting here in 2022. Ah, Vic Beasley.
And Vic Beasley.
You know who loves?
He had another bag from Wendy's today.
You know who loves Vic Beasley is Kevin Dodd. Because he used to be the punchline, and now his fellow Clemson alum has taken it over for him.
Very, very good teammate,
Big
Beasley there, just taking some of that responsibility away from Kevin Dodd. When we come back, what have we made so far of the offensive performance without Taylor Lewan? Are we concerned in that area moving forward? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robin Rexroad live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.